we're trying something new.
From the Blue Devil Hub, this is the News Cycle. I'm Stella Mays.
I'm Max Davis Hasfield.
I'm Maria Anderson.
And I'm Nana Grigor. Coming up for our final podcast episode of the year, we're switching things up a bit.
Instead of bringing you news from around our community, we'll be talking amongst ourselves about stories from the past year and our thoughts for the future. Today is Monday, June 6th.
So we're here at the end of the year.
Somehow.
Yeah, it's been long.
It's been long, but also this last couple of months have felt like ever since spring break, I felt like it has gone really quickly.
Yeah.
But I think that we can definitely reminisce back on some of our favorite stories. I can start off by saying that my favorite story that I did, it was a podcast package, and it was focusing on various local musicians, but it was also across California. So I interviewed some musicians from Northern California, some from Southern California, and I talked to some actually amazing people that were very talented and actually were unknown talents. So people didn't really know who they were, but they're actually pretty popular in the city that they're in. So it was actually pretty amazing to be able to interview people that I've never heard of before and actually hear some of their original music, which was pretty fascinating to hear how people are definitely really creative and we don't even know those people exist.
Yeah, and we can take a quick look back here at that episode. So here's a little segment from that package.
Lola is a guitarist who came from Vietnam 5 years ago and has now been performing across the Bay Area. She started with keyboard lessons and started playing guitar at age 18.
I always wanted to play guitar when I was a kid, and I think it's really cool to like play guitar and sing at the same time. And I'm amazed by singer guitarists like being on stage and singing and playing guitar.
With the experience of performing on multiple stages and many venues, Lola has experienced it all.
When you are on big stage, like really big stage, it's more like you don't see the crown and you just like, because the follow lights is really bright. And so everybody's like, ooh, you know, you can hear the sounds and you got excited and you're so confident and you're like, ooh, I'm the star, I'm the spotlight, and you know, it's so cool.
Yeah, that was a really great story, Maria. I know I heard a lot of people really loved that one.
That was one of my favorites too. I think that was my week, and I remember reading your script and then just talking to you about how we were going to alter the episode a little bit to sort of have that theme weaving through, like with the music. And it worked so well with the podcast medium. Yeah, it was really exciting for me too. I loved just seeing everything that you did. You worked on so many podcasts, but that was definitely one of my favorites too.
How about you, Nana? Do you have a favorite story that you worked on this year?
I remember when we first started the podcast, I was really nervous, just like in journalism, because I'm not very good at tech stuff. And then editing everything and recording and putting it all together was really fun. And then the first podcast that I like submitted as an assignment, I was really proud of. And I think it was very nice to like have it posted and stuff.
And could you remind us what that one was about?
That was about the protests for the Black Lives Matter movement in Davis.
And here's a quick clip of that episode for everybody.
Senior Faithful Renano attended the protest in June 2020 that some of her classmates had organized. And though not many people attended, it was for an important cause for everyone that wanted change.
I wanted to be a part of something. I was so angry during that time, so I wanted to talk to people and I wanted to see exactly how our community was making the situation.
I was just really proud in general for a bunch of stories we did on the podcast, because we managed to cover so much in our 40 episodes, like, and pretty much as it happened. Like, I remember the breaking news of the Ukraine conflict. We were able to get a podcast out pretty quickly. I know I worked on a 3-part series on the homeless crisis, and that one was a really interesting one as well. So here we can listen to a couple clips from those.
When it's a dark and stormy night, most people retreat indoors and warm themselves with a heater or a roaring fire. But for the at least 190 homeless people living in Davis, this is not an option. Last time, we looked at some of the causes of the homeless crisis in California.
If anything, the housing situation has certainly not kept up with the population growth.
People that you would think have good, consistent jobs really can't afford to live in Davis.
It's been kind of ever-evolving storm that's gotten worse as the years have gone by.
I feel like we did so many incredible stories that are super important to Davis and our community. But I know that even though like it takes, like people don't really know as like how much work actually does go into them. And especially with like the amount of technology glitches that I've had this year that make it like all of a sudden it's like I'm ready to edit and sit down and ready to edit. And then the whole thing, computer just doesn't work and Adobe Audition doesn't work. And it makes it pretty stressful. But in the end, usually I just sit in front of the computer and just wait and eventually it'll work. So yeah, even though it can be stressful, usually things end up working out. But yeah, there's a ton of behind the scenes that people don't really know how much work actually goes into it. And that's not just for the news cycle, but also for the whole hub. So there's just quite a lot of background things that go on where people are constantly busy and working, but it makes it such a fun environment because especially in our hub class, we all are just working together and it all seems like everybody's just there to help each other and it makes it so much easier and it makes it really fun.
Yeah. So should we talk about that, kind of the process of creating a podcast package or a whole podcast? Because that's probably a mystery to most of our listeners. So what do you guys do when you get a story? That's the first step. We all get assigned stories. How do you guys take it from there?
I always start, and I think that I ended up making less podcast packages this year just because I was so involved hosting. But just in general, what makes me feel best in terms of organization, right when I get an assignment, is just making a huge brainstorm sheet, just putting every source I can think of, every angle I can think of. And then from there, just reaching out to as many sources as possible and hoping for like a good selection to come in. But I think making that initial like dumping page and also with a podcast episode and its theme, whether we have one or not, has been really helpful for me.
So yeah, so Stella talked about an important part of the process, kind of reaching out to our sources. And then once we hear back from sources, I don't know, Nene, what's your next step once you've heard back from a source?
I write down everything they said that I think is important, and then I try and fit it into the story idea.
How about you, Maria? Where would you go from that point in the process?
So I would say at that point, it's either doing a Zoom interview. So whether it's Zoom interview or in-person interview, I'd figure that out. I'd do the interview. And then usually if I have a Zoom interview that I do and it ends up being like 30 minutes long, and then if the overall package has to be like 3 or 4 minutes long, it makes it really difficult to edit down. But I think that that's like the main part. I just get all my files set up on my computer. And then once I import them into Audition, which is what we edit our software, then I have to cut down those interviews. So I have to, that's when I write my script. And then I find just the main little quotes that I want to use. And then that's when I record my part.
Yeah. And about that, sorry, Max, were you going to say
something? No, go ahead. So
I was just going to say that I remember starting podcasts and one of the hardest parts, just like mentally, with having to listen to my voice so much, because you just go through it so many times. First of all, like transcribing and just like organizing those long interviews. Mm-hmm. You just have to listen to every word you said and every you made and every horrible thing you wish you would never say again in your whole life.
Yeah.
And it just is really hard. And then it gets a lot easier and I start detaching myself from it. But have you guys struggled with that at all? I know, Maria, you've been making a lot in it. It's still really new for both of you, but I don't know. I want to hear about how you feel about that.
I can go first. I would say that I kind of had the same problem with that, but I think that at the same time, since I have done BDPN this past year, I've had to hear my voice a ton, especially when I go back and I'm on a Zoom and I was editing with whoever was the co-producer for the week. I did that multiple times, and not every week, but sometimes.
For those of you who don't know, BDPN is the Davis High News show. For those of you who are listening who aren't a part of DHS.
Yeah. And so since I did that this past year, I had to listen to my voice quite a lot with that. And so I think I got kind of to the point where I was used to learning how to talk, if that's the way, because like you have to learn how to talk as a reporter, right? I mean, obviously you want to do your natural voice and you want to be yourself, but there is a way where you have to learn to not always say and like every two words, because otherwise it makes it really hard when you're editing. Or, but yeah, I think that you get used to talking basically, and it makes it easier, I think, over time.
And it's, and I only like recorded a couple of things with my voice, but because I'm such a perfectionist, I focus more on the way I'm saying things and the words that I'm saying instead of my voice. So it's basically, it's just disconnecting my voice from the actual recording itself, which sounds really odd, but it just, you get used to it after one time.
Yeah, no, that's a really interesting aspect of the whole process, having to record your voice. So yeah, once you've got all your interviews together, you've written a script, and then you record your voice, and then we edit it all together in Adobe Audition, and then play it through a couple of times. And then there we've got a podcast package. And it's at that point that it comes to Stella and I, and next year it'll be Maria and Nene. They'll get those produced packages, and then they'll have to dump it into an episode that they've written another script around. So it's a really long process, but the result, it's really cool.
I have to say that something that has helped me go into the transition of becoming the podcast producer from just being a reporter and the BDPM producer, I would say, is having to do, like, normally podcast packages that students submit are about 3 or 4 minutes, I would say, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and so what I ended up doing is I tried to make in-depth podcasts. And so those usually ended up being like 6-7 minutes. And that actually helped me just learn how to make longer podcasts, because if you're making 3 or 4 minute podcasts and you have to transition to doing 10 minute podcasts, it is a bigger difference. So I just ended up trying to make longer podcasts. And I think that that definitely helped. That was definitely an aspect that helped me. Sure.
Yeah, that was an interesting part of the show this year, because we had some, you know, really short, like all the podcasts from the Journalism 1 class, which is our beginning journalism level, were all like a minute, minute and a half. And then we had like Maria's 6 and 7 minute ones. And then like the series on homelessness was like 3 5-minute episodes. So we got a chance to do some really quick looks and then some deep dives at a bunch of different issues. That was cool.
Yeah, I think maybe we can put this back to our favorite stories.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite podcast packages that I made wasn't planned. I wasn't planning to make it, but I went to Armadillo Music every year a few times a year. They have it more now, but it's called Record Store Day. And I just went and I saw this huge line of people, and I hadn't been in a while, and I kind of forgot how big of a deal it was. Uh-huh. And I was like, wait, hold on. There's something that could happen here. And so I went through the whole line of people, and I just grabbed my phone because I didn't have my voice recorder. And I just talked to every single one of them about why they were there. And it ended up being one of like my favorite things that I made, just because it was such an interesting experience. And personally, I love music, and I thought it was super interesting to hear what they had to say. And like, some people had stayed the night outside.
That's dedication.
I know. And they had tents out there, and it's like, Davis, like, it's such a random, cool thing. And so that was definitely one of my favorites, just all around. Wasn't planned. So that was kind of cool.
That was a really fun one to see. It completely surprised me, but I loved it.
On Saturday, April 23rd, flocks of people from Davis and the surrounding communities lined up in front of Armadillo Music for the best chance to find special Record Store Day releases. I spoke to the monstrous line of people one by one and asked them what they were at Record Store Day for. Many had brought lists.
Hi guys, I don't know who's together, but I'm a student journalist.
I'm here for Taylor Swift.
I'm here for Taylor Swift.
I'm here hopefully getting Taylor Swift. We got here right at 9. Last night.
So I came for Kawaii by Childish Gambino, Rex Orange County Apricot Princess, the singles collection by Wallows. Literally got here at 5 a.m.
So here at 6 a.m.
I would say that another one of my favorite assignments, so this was one of the weeks that I didn't do a podcast package, since I did one almost every week this year, because they're a lot of fun. But I would say that my second favorite assignment that I did this week was easily the picnic day video that I made. So I went out and I filmed picnic day on my own. I thought I was going to get some help by some students, which didn't end up helping. But I went out and I filmed the entire picnic day alone, and it was hot out there. And carrying like the tripod, carrying the camera and the bag, it was all a lot of work. But like being able to see the UC Davis reporters out there filming, and then them just smiling at me as they saw what I was doing, I feel like it really just encouraged me, and it gave me such like a boost of adrenaline, because I was like, whoa, I'm actually out here doing the same thing that college reporters are doing. So I think that that's just another type of like the beauty of journalism, where you, once you go out and you're, whether it's recording an interview for a podcast or recording a video for Picnic Day or something, you will see people that are actually out in the real profession doing their job. And so it's really cool just to see, no matter what type of multimedia you're doing, you can see those reporters that are actually super successful out there. So it's really nice to see like what you want to do in the future actually being done outside, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, totally. That's been a really fun part of it for me, just how excited people are to talk to you if you have a recorder out, and how friendly and welcoming. I've not had a single bad experience with someone I've interviewed. It's just all been, oh great, here, I'll do more, I'll show you around, I'll tell you extra things. And I did a podcast on the Raptor Center. That was really fun because the person just, this didn't get in the final episode, but they went out and they gave me a whole tour around the place and explained all sorts of things. And that just was really fun and a really nice, cool thing that wouldn't have happened otherwise.
I mean, on the same not assignment, but project that I did with Record Store Day, I definitely had just so many people, like you said, Max, were really excited to talk to me. Because I felt so strongly about being there. And there was this one guy, he was so cool. I saw him from really far away, and he was wearing a head to toe Kacey Musgraves themed outfit. And he had like all of her merch on, and then he had tattoos, and I couldn't obviously see what his tattoos were. But then when I went and talked to him, he had like, I don't remember exactly what, but he had like the title of her second album, like an acronym across his knuckles.
Oh my.
I know, he was so cool and crazy. But, and then I just asked him about it, and he told me all about his tattoos. And he said, I can't remember, I could check the exact number. If we go through them, it might be kind of interesting to look at my raw, not footage, but audio recordings. Uh-huh. Because he said he had some incredible amount of celebrity tattoos. He had like Taylor Swift, Kacey Musgraves, all these people. I think he had like 26 tattoos.
Oh, wow.
And so he just started talking about all of his tattoos, but he was a very interesting person. And another thing that was unexpected about that project was there were a lot of people there who were from outside of Davis. Mm-hmm. And so that's always cool too, when you're, you know, your lens spreads a little bit wider.
I can definitely agree with that. I think that after reaching out to so many people, there are so many cool people out there that you don't expect. And like, as I said, with the musician podcast, there are just so many cool people. Like one of the musicians actually performed at one of the actors from The Office's wedding. So that was really cool. And so I feel like there are just so many cool people out there. Like even when I did the Farm to Fork podcast and I went to the farmer's market, and I also did Zoom interviews with other farmers across Northern California. Like there are so many people out there that you don't expect to be doing what they do, but it's really interesting. So I definitely agree with what you said, Stella.
I mean, yeah, we've covered a lot of, you know, sad things, but also just incredible, incredible things and people going out of their way to be kind. So it's always really nice when you like, when I did a podcast on Healthy Davis Together, everyone there was, you know, there were long lines, but all the people working there were just so nice and trying to keep everyone happy. It's really heartwarming.
I mean, I remember when I interviewed my first person for like the first podcast I ever did, and I was really stressed out, and I like wasn't exactly sure how to hold the microphone, and I was like, I was shaking very obviously. And then they were like, no, it's fine, you're doing great, there's no rush, you're gonna be fine. And that was like kind of like a little bit of a confidence boost, where if they're agreeing to be interviewed or like filmed, they're going to do it and they're going to be great. And then you're going to be great. So it was very eye opening. And And it helped because that was great.
I had that, I guess, kind of similar experience when I did my, I think it was one of my very first interviews. It was in J1 and it was during the pandemic. And I was super nervous, but it was over Zoom. And I think it was with the Career Center coordinator, Elodia Alvarez. And she was super sweet. Like, it ended up being a very long interview. It was 30 minutes long and it was supposed to only be like 5-10 minutes, which is what I initially told them in the email. And so it's just crazy how, like, once you can start talking to people, like, obviously that's the first approach, like actually approaching the person. But then the second part is with being a reporter is just be yourself. That's the main thing. Just always be yourself. And it usually works and it ends up bringing in long interviews that you have to edit, but it's usually worth it. Like, you usually feel super like energized after, because you're like, wow, I just did that and it was amazing. Like, it's always really fun. I always feel pretty successful after doing an interview. So there's only been one time where an interview didn't really work out and I didn't really need to use anything from there, but that happens. And that's what it's like being a reporter. So
now, back to your thing about people talking for a long time. There's this one guy, I asked him one question. He talked for 45 minutes about that one question. I did not say for 45 minutes.
That must have been a really good question. I remember in J1, Ms. Wilkerson always told us to, Ms. Wilkerson is our advisor for Hub and our teacher for the first journalism class you can take. And she was trying to describe like what kinds of questions we should be asking. And I remember she said, always ask questions that are never yes or no, unless they're clarifying, and always like really open-ended. So you get, you know, people to talk for a while. And Max, that's like an exemplary question, I'm sure, because that's crazy. I have one more story that I just remembered and then I want to talk about. And it was one of our first, because it was, like you said earlier, we had widespread topics. We did a lot of different things. And one of our heavier and sadder ones was remembering 9/11.
Oh, yes.
In September. Yeah. And I remember going to a bunch of my teachers just to ask adults in the community about like if they'd be willing to talk about their experience of 9/11. Because most adults, like if you ask them, they'll be like, yep, I remember I was here. I remember I was in this situation, just because it was such a world shattering thing. But I asked my first period teacher, the first teacher I'd asked, you know, not really expecting a lot, just maybe like, yeah, maybe I'd be willing. So I went up to her after class and I just said, hey, Ms. Pilon, like, we're doing this episode to remember 9/11. I was just wondering if, you know, I'm asking a lot of adults. I was wondering if you'd be willing to talk to me. And tears came to her eyes immediately. And I had no idea anything about her really, but we didn't really talk for very long then, but she just said, yeah, I'd be willing to talk to you. Definitely. I grew up in New York. I have a lot of family there. Once again, like, I had no idea. And of course it's not always that easy. You don't always get like a really good source, a really heavy, experience right away. But my point with that is that there are always surprises, whether they're good and bad. And a lot of times you'll just get things that you don't expect that are amazing. And she made a great interview and she talked to me and yeah, it was an incredible experience, getting to talk to her. And I really appreciated her insight and her vulnerability.
Yeah, that interview was wonderful. It almost made me cry. And let's take a quick listen back on that right now.
Finally, Karen Pilon reads an email her family received following the attack from her husband's cousin.
My friends, I hesitate to convey this news via email, but at a time like this, it's the only reasonable and quick way to reach you all. I consider each and every one of you who reads this to be a friend, be it new or old, and let me say that now more than ever, I appreciate and cherish my friends. The original intent of this note was to share with you some pictures from our wedding that our friend Will had posted on his website. And now instead I share with you this news. We have lost our brother, Tim. He was working on the 100th floor of World Trade 1 on the side of the building where the first plane hit. I tell you that first to get the terrible truth and detail out of the way and to let you know that we were early on able to discern that he was in the office on a conference call. One of the people he was talking to said the line just went dead. And so we have been spared the agony of not knowing what happened to him. Our hearts go out to those who have had to deal with not knowing and those like us who do know. It was hard news to accept, but ultimately it helped us to start dealing with his loss because we know he probably was gone as the plane hit and that he didn't suffer.
I actually do remember that podcast. I'm not sure if we listened to it in class or if I listened to it at home. Did we listen to it in class?
I think we did.
Yeah. And I do remember how there was a quietness in the class. Our class in Hub is very energetic. There's a lot of energy. But the day that we played that podcast, it was quiet. Like there was not ever, I'm pretty sure that a few people did tear up. I was one of them. I did. And it was emotional for sure. And I think that just seeing that, like how everybody can just like change their emotion for something that's so important was, it was just crazy to see something like that. So it was really moving. And it's still one of my favorite podcasts. It was amazing. So.
Yeah, that one is really spectacular. I know something I really enjoyed doing this year. We did three of them, which was new. It was audio dramas, fictional, just kind of breaks from the news. We did The War of the Worlds and A Christmas Carol, and I had so much fun with that.
Mr. Scrooge, carolers at the door.
Bah, humbug! Send them away!
They want charity money, sir. It is Christmas, after all. Don't be cross, sir.
What else can I be when I live in such a world of fools as this? What's Christmas time to you but a time for paying bills without money? A time for finding yourself a year older, but not an hour richer? A time for balancing your books and having every item in them for a round dozen of months presented dead against you? If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart, he should.
I was not part of either of those three, but I do remember when Max did announce in class that there are these parts for The War of the Worlds and for the other one, what did you say, which one was it?
Christmas Carol.
Yeah, Christmas Carol. I remember when he announced those parts, everybody was really excited to do it because it was something that was completely different. It was definitely going to bring variety to the podcast. So everybody was just super excited about that. So do you remember how people were excited about it, Stella?
Oh my goodness. I have so much to say. Not really. Just I thought it was so fun. I think that there have been multiple times throughout this year. Max, you and I have technically both worked very closely on this, and yet we haven't had that much time to actually work together. But nevertheless, I have been so, number one, grateful for your skill set and your creativity and your organization. I think we've really supported each other well this year.
Yeah.
And I'm always grateful for that. I hope you know that. And
likewise.
Yeah. And just with that, that was one of those moments where I was like, Max is special. Max is cool. I can't believe I get to know this kid. He's so crazy and no one would ever think about this in the best way possible. And Max just was so into it and he inspired, you know, the people who felt the same way and were just like magnets to it. And like some people got really into it and we ended up creating Max spearheading the whole thing, this just so fun and such a creative dynamic thing both times. And I remember also listening to, I think at least The War of the Worlds in class. I think we listened to both of them, but I really remember that one and just everyone having so much fun with it. And I'm saying the same thing over and over, but it's just because it was just so much fun. And we really, I think there were a lot of times this year where we really needed that. Versus everything that's going on in this world all the time. It was really, really nice to have that creative side and to do that. So thank you, Max, for the whole year, but especially the creativity that went into things like that.
Well, thank you for those kind words, Stella. And likewise, thank you for all you've done. It's really totally a collaborative process. And there have been so many times when Stella's taken the podcast when I've had something to do on a weekend or I've written her late at night saying, can you help me with this or that? And again, with those audio dramas, just the best part was seeing how the class came together. And we were all sitting on the floor of our studio room, just reading through the script. And it was just like ridiculous and great. And that was the moment when I'm like, everyone really works well together. And it was really great to see. So maybe we've only got like 5 minutes left on our Zoom. Why don't we talk about the future? Because I am so excited for what you guys are going to do next year. I know we've talked about this a little bit before, but anything else at this point you want to say?
Put us on the spot there, Max. I think it'd be really cool to do more of that type of drama production, as you mentioned, because I think that Max has had that creative side since sixth grade. I do remember in sixth grade, we had at Willow Elementary, we had a like this drama show or whatever. I don't know what it was called. It was called the Rat Pack Rack. Rat Pack Rat. And yeah. Max had his British accent and he was just going all out and creative. And I think that just learning from hearing these people that are so creative in our class, especially Max, I think it brings a lot of perspective where we can do so much more next year and just bring so much more creativeness. And I think that if we do more types of drama productions, not exactly drama productions because we don't want to copy it exactly, but I think that bringing in more creativity is definitely a huge possibility because there's so much potential. So,
and yeah, I'd love to work with you guys on some more audio dramas next year if you'll have me.
We would love to.
But yeah, so this is our final episode of the year. We're going to take a break for summer. And when we come back, it'll be all with Maria and Nane, and they're going to do just fabulous. I don't even know what's going to happen next year. It's judging by the past couple of years, it's going to be unexpected and intense and crazy. But the new cycle will be there as always, like it has been for the past couple of years. And hopefully even better than before.
Yeah. I just thank you to everyone who's ever listened to our podcast. I think
I people should listen to because it's great.
Yeah, recommend it to everyone you know. It's great and it's gonna be better and it's gonna be amazing. And I know, Maria, I've gotten to see you fall in love with podcast and it makes me so happy and we're in the same table group and I love seeing you every day and I love seeing what you do. And Nene, I don't know you as well, but I can't wait. And like, just from what I've heard you make, and like the little communication I've had with you, I'm so excited. And I'm so confident handing it over to both of you that you're going to do a great job. And Max said it with audio dramas, but if you ever need us for anything, you're not getting rid of us because we're both juniors. So just let us know. We're always going to.
Yeah. So everybody, please keep listening because we will be back next year with plenty more in store for all of you and recommend it to your family and friends. We air every week and it should be a lot of fun just bringing in more, maybe more friendly conversations where we can just do more sit down talks and just be more relaxed and have some more fun episodes. I think it'll be really fun for sure.
And you know what? Write into us if you have ideas for next year, bluedevilhub.com@gmail.com. We'd love to hear what you thought worked, what you thought didn't, what you'd love to hear, and just your thoughts because we're trying to improve it every day. So let us know if you can what you think, and we will, the show will reflect that next year.
I think it'll be really cool to see that this is like, This will be our final year. So Max, Stella, and I are seniors next year, and Nane is going to be junior, correct? Yes. So it's going to be our final year. So we have to make it our best year. So we just got to go full out this year and just make it our best year yet because we really have to finish off high school with a bang.
Well, that's our show for today. The News Cycle is a production of Blue Devil Hub in association with the Davis Enterprise. Daniel Ruiz Jimenez writes our theme music. Our producers are myself and Stella Mays. Next year's producers will be, of course, Maria Anderson and Nane Gregor. And our executive producer this year was Jihan Moon. Next year will be coming multimedia editor-in-chief Elliot DeYoung.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Stay safe.
Have a good week.
We'll see you next year.
That was horrible.